Christian greetings to each one this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the one who left heaven's glory, came down to where we can have some of the glory of God in us because Jesus Christ is in us. We receive him within us. And may the blessings be poured out today, not because I'm here, but because of the Word of God and the privilege that we have. And I think of a verse as I was a young boy, like some of these youth that were up here. They would say in Psalms 122, I believe. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." And are you glad this morning? I'm just asking every one of you that knows what it is to be glad, to be pleased, to be joyful, and to come to the house of the Lord with that, not with heaviness or feeling like you're buried, but still know that God is God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And so it is so wonderful when we come to the service this morning, and we are so glad because Jesus is here too, because God is here. He will never seek us leave us nor forsake us. And so let us go into the house of the Lord with joy and with a desire to learn more and to trust God. In Nehemiah's time, I'm just going to go briefly through some of the other situations where the people were so glad when they praised God. And so Nehemiah in 8:17, you can jot down the scriptures. And all the congregation of them that were come out of the captivity. Now, when we say the captivity, they were in Babylon. And then they come back. Nehemiah was there. He was trying to build a wall again, and did. But them that were come out of the captivity made booths and set under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was a very great gladness. They were so wonderfully blessed by being back in the booths when they had those various situations, those days of they had their situations they wanted to do. In Psalms 4:7, he says, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart." The psalmist wrote various times when he was real glad, he was so excited about it. And there were other times when he was really down and wondered, where was God? Well, were people like they were? But I think we need to keep ourselves on the top side, where we reign with God and trust in him. And Barnabas in Acts chapter 11, verse 23, Barnabas came from Antioch. They sent him over there to preach to the children and to God's children, the church there at Antioch, where they were first called the disciples, I believe was the correct word. And when Barnabas came to Antioch, and when he saw, he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. He was so glad. He was so pleased. He was so wonderfully encouraged himself. And so he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, yes, something similar like, the devotional this morning. My mind is kind of loppy at times. And so we come with purpose of heart. Now, what is a purpose that you can jot down in your notes? I appreciate seeing some of them take notes. in your notes, what is this purpose of your heart that you would want to cleave to God, the God of heaven, the children of God? They were, we just, like the song just we sang, we want to be with the children of God on the Savior's right hand. And so it's great to be a child of God. It's great to be a church of Jesus Christ. And my mind went, and I didn't even realize that we were going to have chapter 1 of Genesis, but I had things in mind concerning that very thing. And, Thursday, if I looked right, is it Wednesday, the first day of school? Who can tell me? Brenda Lou. Thursday. There you go. And so it's, the children growing up, the children now, some, and the younger ones, if I speak to the school children, I can, and they can find a real purpose in this. And then the next older ones that are now out of school already, and the ones that are beyond the 20s and so forth, the grown people can understand it as well. That's what I'm trying to say. And so if I would ask the school children to come up, would that be an offense to anyone? I hope not. But I'd like to see the school children come up here and line over in various lines here. Let's see, grade 8. Let's take the large ones first, and then the smaller ones can stand up front and the others can tower in the back. Grade 8, I guess. You still take grade 8, don't you? Are there any 8th graders? Well, bless your heart. Okay, 7th graders. All right, 6th, are there any 6th graders? Boy, we've got them all, don't we? That's so nice. Okay, 5th graders? Fourth? 4th graders? Oh, a couple of ambitious children coming up here. Now you can just line up in front of here. See, which grade was I in? The third grade? You're in the third grade? You're in the fourth? Okay, 3rd graders? Don't be bashful, just come on up. Okay, 2nd graders? No 2nd graders? Okay, how about 1st graders? And how about, what do they call it, kindergarten? There's none? If there are some, send them up. All right. This is just all right. Now, you are learning in school, and the blessedness of having a church school is that you learn about the Lord Jesus too, and that is so wonderful. And so we are going to start in here. What is the gospel? Can you give me a definition for the gospel? The gospel of Jesus Christ? Yes?
The good news.
The good news. Right on. That is so wonderful. It's a message about Christ Jesus, including, you know, Jesus or God created everything. And when I was going through some of this stuff last night, I was just wondering how much I'm allowed to press them, but the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a message about Christ, the kingdom of God, and salvation. And so this is something that you children will learn as you grow. Now, the older ones here, they are more they know more about this gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible, it tells us that God created everything, including you and me and all the others here. So what's the first verse that we had in our lessons today? Well, you had different lessons, I guess, but the first verse in the Bible. Can you say that? Or in the beginning. Okay. In the beginning. Now, let's say that together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What's the next one? I got to look at it myself. So, He created everything, including you and me, and He is in charge of everything. You know, God is over all. And He has things in Revelations. It says that God... Well, okay. I got things a little mixed up here. But anyhow, what I'm interested in trying to convey to the children of the parents here, is that this good news is something that we want to think on. We want to ask our parents, what does this mean? What does that mean? And when we don't understand, I'm sure your parents will have you learn what that really is. So, now if you would, I'd like for all the children to sit on the front benches here. I'm going to run over time too, but anyhow, let's go. You want to sit the boys over there, the girls over here? Okay, God's plan for me, and that's for you and all of us here. God's plan is that He wants us to know who God is, learn to know who God is, and that He is the creator of the universe. He is the creator of the earth. And so... we certainly want to be a part of the children of God and realize that as we grow up, some of the things that we do are not right, and we call it, or God calls it, sin. We have sinned. And since the time of Adam and Eve, everyone has chosen to disobey God. We were born in sin because Adam and Eve sinned. And that is, the Bible calls it sin because God is holy. And God is righteous. He is the God that will not be able to put up with sin. But He wants us to draw away from things that are not right. We have sinned, And since the time of Adam and Eve, everyone has chosen to disobey God. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All of us, even if we don't know what sin is, we have sinned. Okay? And so, because God is holy, God cannot be around sin. Sin separates us from God and deserves God's punishment of death. But we have some good news too. God provided for our sins. Little children that know about sin, and to the oldest one here, which is Simon. And I'm next. I guess I am. I kind of forget sometimes. God provided. He sent his son, Jesus, the perfect solution for our sin problem. That's the goodness of God, that Jesus loves us so much. And he provided the rescue to rescue us from the punishment we deserve. It's something we as sinners could never earn on our own. Jesus alone saves us. John 3:16. You children know that? Can you help but the whole church say that? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Isn't that a wonderful thing? God provided for us. And so we certainly have the privilege. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for us. In Ephesians, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." And so we know that we can't save ourselves, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's in Romans 5:21. And so this great provision that God made, and so it also says that Jesus gave. And you have heard your parents, you have heard the preachers preach about how that God gave his son to redeem us from our sins. And Jesus lived a perfect life. He did not have any sin in his life. Isn't that wonderful? That we have the Son of God. He gave his life. Let me just say, Jesus gave his life. He lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins. And he rose again. And so because Jesus gave his life for us, we can be welcomed into God's family. And that's something that is really, really makes us glad. It makes us feel so good that we, as a church of Jesus Christ, can become that cleansed sinners, saved by grace, cleansed through the precious blood, because Jesus, he gave his life for us, and we can be welcomed into God's family. And as you grow up, you will know more about these things as school children grow up. And also, this is the best gift that he could ever give, And so In 1 Peter, it says in 3:18, it says, "For Christ hath also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, made alive." It makes us come alive. And because of the Spirit that dwells in us, God wants to help us to have that Spirit of God in our hearts. And I pray that God was just more and more fill our hearts with His Spirit, that we can say no to the devil, say no to the world and their sinful things, and be a true child of God, quickened by the Spirit, made alive. And so we respond to this wonderful salvation that was brought to us through Jesus. We can respond to Jesus, and the ABCs of becoming a Christian is a simple tool that helps us remember how to respond when prompted by the Holy Spirit to receive the gift of Jesus Christ. And when we become aware of something that we failed or something that we sinned, let us realize that we can simply bow to Jesus and pray for forgiveness and courage to press on and to live daily the life that He wants us to live. ABC, admit to God that you are a sinner, repent, turning away from your sin. And so we certainly want to be free from sin. And when we plead the blood of Jesus, we can be free. And B is believe that Jesus is God's Son and accept God's gift of forgiveness from sin. And there's many scriptures that we could bring in here, but I realize my time is running short. And letter C, ABC, confess your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And Romans 10:9 is a good scripture. I think I've got this. And also a verse comes to my mind just now that I wanted to include in this. Let's see here. Well, I kind of lost track of that one. But it's a wonderful scripture that I wanted to share with this. And that is, I know part of it by heart, that we can be more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And Jesus certainly loved us, and He wants to continue to keep us in His and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. That is, we overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And there's another scripture verse that I want here. Uh, in Revelations chapter 21, verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. That is so wonderful. And excuse me. In heaven, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Won't we be glad when we get to heaven and his servants will serve them? And there be no more curse, no more sin, no more anything like that. And so let us be a true light unto the world, a salt unto the earth, and continue to live for Jesus in heaven, as my dad often made mention, that we, as children of God, are a light unto the world. And we, you know, people can see. Here some time ago, I was visiting with a young gentleman, and we were talking about the blessedness of salvation, the hope of glory. He didn't seem to understand much of it, but I just said, well, if he just takes the Bible and reads, and especially in the John's epistles, in John, 1, 2, and 3. And so this is something that is really wonderful. Let us children, you will grow up. You will grow up to be adults and learn to certainly obey your parents. Obey your parents. And that is one of the Ten Commandments. And so as you grow up, you will learn more and more about this. And so I want to close, but I wanted to have a special prayer for the school children as they go back to school, loving one another, helping one another, appreciating one another as school children, and also the teachers. We want to have a prayer for the teachers. And so don't hardly know how to do this, but anyhow, let's all stand for a prayer.